Well, grace and peace, gracia y paz, beloveds, amados, in the name of our God who speaks to our hearts through all times and places and languages. Amen. So in elementary school, I remember learning for the first time the three R's of environmental justice. Anyone know what the three R's are? Recycle, reduce, reuse. Yes. I feel like there was a special like branding of that in like the 80s and 90s. So there was even this beautiful green graphic of green arrows kind of folding in on each other. We still see it on the bottom of our plastic containers. All the things. So from what I recall, from remembering the three R's, reduce, recycle, reuse, most of the education was around brainstorming ideas for how to recycle things or how to reuse them. There wasn't, at least to my knowledge, a lot of talk about reducing. So maybe that's something to ponder for another time, I suppose. But in any case, the notion that anything can be repurposed or rearranged or simply reimagined, I mean, it kind of seems like a simple, like, duh, no-brainer. You can use things for multiple uses, even beyond their intended use. But I see that now even more, well beyond my elementary years, a whole millennia and past such, so many of our things these days are made specifically for a single use or a single purpose. I mean, think of your kitchen drawers. How many of your kitchen drawers have one thing that is your special thing? I have an avocado tool that is just for avocados. I love it, but it doesn't really have purpose for anything else. Partly this is because there is so much going on that demands our attention and our time that we don't have time to get bored or to rest, to practice imagination and wonder and creativity. We've created a world that is so busy that we don't have time to do anything more than get something for a single use and then get rid of it. Even though most of us, I think, come also from the idea that that's kind of a wasteful practice. Single-use living, though, does keep many of us going in our day-to-days. And I want to say I'm not condemning that, because I also practice a lot of that, especially as a single adult who lives alone. It is so much easier for my sanity, and especially with food, so I don't let it go to waste, to get the single small-use containers. I don't like how much waste that's producing, but I also don't like wasting the food, but I want to enjoy the food. It's a tough world we live in, trying to figure out the best steps that we can do. So the practice of recycling and reusing and maybe even reducing, these are nothing new that came out of the EPA in the 1970s. No, this is a practice of how we as humanity have continued to evolve and grow and expand our imaginations, our wonder, our creativity, through which we make space for progress and purpose. And so this is a bit of what we are seeing in our readings this morning, where something that has become familiar and beloved now becomes something different. A new set of circumstances and experiences, and even a bit of a shift in the community's identity, have all come to play on this day that we commemorate with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit among us, this day of Pentecost. This is a day that we celebrate, one I've often heard and have even referred to myself as like the birthday of the church, but it's not a brand new celebration at all. It's not one that just kind of cropped up out of this new Christianity or new Jewish practices. It's a reimagined and repurposed life of the earliest followers of Christ. Because what we celebrate as Pentecost, that is 50 days after Easter morning, when the presence of the promised advocate, the Spirit, shows up, this is a day that has a longer history in the faith and practice of our friends in the Jewish communities. And I'm probably not going to get it right, but Shavuot?
Shavuot.
Shavuot. Okay. Shavuot.
Shavuot.
Shavuot. Okay, Shavuot. Thank you. In Hebrew, so clearly not my language, But this is a day that is a festival of weeks. It is the day that the communities commemorate when Moses received the law, that is the Torah, from God on Mount Sinai, a very important day. It's a fundamental event for the Israelites who were still wandering after their liberation from enslavement in Egypt. The gift of the Ten Commandments from God was, in fact, a covenant, one on which everything else is hinged. It makes clear that there are fundamental ways in which the community shall provide and care for one another, centered on the provision and care that comes first only from God. And so we are bound then in this covenant of love and community care because of what we receive from God first. Shavuot is celebrated 49 days after the Passover. And not only does it celebrate the gift and commitment of the commandments, but it also celebrates the first fruits of the harvest. So this is why there were so many people of so many different origins visiting in Jerusalem. They were from all parts of the Mediterranean and Arab world. Because we have to remember that the earliest communities of Jesus' followers were a mix of people who were Jewish and Gentile, coming from a variety of other religious backgrounds. And so many of their celebrations and traditions became connected to their practice and their faith of Christianity. It's not that one replaced the other. It's that a new incarnation has been made. I was talking to Ainsley before worship and realized as I was talking about it, it's kind of like Doctor Who. Anyone familiar with Doctor Who? A little bit. So the primary actor that is the Doctor has had 14 different incarnations at this point, because part of his lore as an alien is that he can regenerate. This is a cool way to keep the series going. But when the new Doctor is regenerated, there has been one girl, but primarily he, does not negate the presence or the experience of the previous ones before him. They are continuing in a line, but they have different ideas, different ways, different little quirks. That's kind of like what is happening here. The practice and celebration of Pentecost does not take over for Shavuot, but it is a new way. So this is why the gathered diaspora is in Jerusalem. Jewish faithful to honor the Torah. They're celebrating the first fruits of their harvest. And so this then seems to be a great day for the Spirit, the promised advocate that Jesus had assured his friends would come after him. This is now the day that we in the Christian tradition remember as Pentecost. And so to me, it seems that the commemoration of the gift of the Holy Spirit for us is a renewing of God's covenant with us. We celebrate this moment when God spoke through Jesus' disciples in such a way that they could tell the good news, the gospel, so that everyone around them could receive it. The community of the faithful had spread into new cultures and languages and practices, yet it was the good news of Jesus through the gift of the Spirit that knew no boundary and made a way for this gift to be received by every one of us and didn't demand uniformity or even conformity of language or practice or culture, which seems boggling when sometimes we have a hard enough time communicating to each other through a text. But it is the gift of the Spirit that renews our part of our covenant with that binds us together as one who provides and cares for one another because of how God first cares for us. And so we hear even in our reading from 1 Corinthians that we are many parts. We have many variety gifts and skills. We have received these gifts of skills not for our own benefits, but for the purpose of community provision, love, and care. We are recipients of this good news because it has been told and told again by our ancestors. It has been shown and shown again through the faithful of every age and time who dare to trust that the promise of God's love and grace is never-ending and is not for some, but for all. It's a message as old as time itself, but the ways that we figure out how to make this message and promise renewed time and again, that's where we get to practice imagination and creativity and wonder. As you may be aware, we have been continuing conversations and discernments about the best uses for this building and the properties shared between Our Savior and Purdue Lutheran Ministry for, not for us, but for the wider community. There have been many ideas for repurposing or reimagining possibilities with what we already have. There are ideas for doing something completely new. And for now, I want to be clear, it is still simply ideas. There are no actions being taken until there is clear communication and consensus from the whole community. But it doesn't mean we have to stop dreaming. And I will say, I think this is practiced every academic year, every semester within our PLM community of students, that we practice repurposing and reimagining how we can create and hold space that is meaningful for one another, both for social bonding and for spiritual growth and formation. And this summertime is, at least for me, when I have to let myself get a little bit bored, because this is when my imagination and creativity can start to flow again. Seeds of ideas are starting to take root in the hopes that by August, when we are ready to welcome new friends and one another into community again, that there will be some new ideas for how we can do that. And so here we are on Pentecost. We commemorate the imaginative and creative and redemptive love of God that has been made known to us, both through the commandments and the blazing of the Spirit within us. And so it makes me wonder, how might you perceive the Spirit speaking to you this day? What are you hearing from God in your own language, your own experience, your own sense of possibilities? Because God is not done with us. God does not throw us away as single-use people. God calls us beloved and worthy of renewal and reimagination and recommitment. And one of my favorite things, at least in my humble opinion, about our Lutheran language of faith, is that we have two sacraments that we center our worship and daily living around: the waters of baptism and the sharing of communion. These places where God's word joins the essentials of our lived experiences, where we will always find ourselves as God's beloveds. Things we practice, things we trust, and even sometimes we doubt, but regardless, we are always affirmed as God's beloveds, as God's own people, every time we encounter holy water and every time we break bread with one another. So even though we now may do it differently than our predecessors, and even though the next ones to come after us may make their own alterations and changes so that it makes sense to their daily lived experiences, what doesn't change is the message that God's love is known to us through the commandments, through the Spirit, through the life and death and resurrection of God's own Jesus. And it is through this mystery of faith that we now are joined with Christ in a resurrected life, filled with hope and possibility and wonder and imagine. And because God's unbounded and covenantal love with and for us, we are now similarly commanded out of that love to care and provide for one another. I guess you could say faith is a bit of a mutual appreciation society in the best and most challenging of ways. That is the gift we get from the Spirit, that we are all worthy as beloved of God, not just for our own sake, but for the mutual care and appreciation of one another. And so may our hearts and heads be ablaze with the possibility and imagination of God's purposes for us and through us, for the sake of one another, as God's beloved ones. Amen.